When a Girl Marries, a story of young married life dedicated to everyone who has ever been in love.
Brought to you by Swansdown, Swansdown Cake Flour. The cake flour that for the 55th year in succession is bought by more women than all other packaged cake flours put together. Swansdown, the cake flour that bakes the beauties every time. Pure heaven, that's what they are, the cakes you've dreamed of. And it's Swansdown that does it. Oh, but then Swansdown is made to make fine cakes. It's specially milled and ground and sifted. It's soft and feathery as fine snow, far softer than ordinary flour. Why, the minute you get out, there's an insert called outside the big red and white package. Try them all. Remember Jimmy's tip, make it your biz, be a cake-making whiz with Swansdown.
And now, When a Girl Marries, the story of Joan and Harry Davis. The grandfather's clock in the old white farmhouse on the Northport Road is just booming out the hour of 11. And with a startled glance, Mother Davis says to Phil and Terry McDonough,
"That's 11 o'clock.
So it is.
Phil, I'm really beginning to get worried about Harry."
"No, Mother
Davis.
Yes,
I am. What could have happened to him?"
"Well, he probably just stopped in someplace."
"Oh, no, Phil. Harry never in his life has dropped in on anyone unexpectedly."
"Still, I don't think anything's happened to him, Mrs. Davis."
"It happened before, Mr. McDonough."
"Well,
Yes, Mother Davis, but after all, a thing like that could only take place once in a lifetime."
"Yes, I agree with you, Phil. I think he just hasn't thought things through yet, and he's not coming home until he does."
"And I still don't like it. I don't like it at all."
"I hate to see you upset this way, Mrs. Davis."
"Mr. McDonough, you don't think..."
"Think what, Mrs. Davis?"
Oh, it's too fantastic."
"You mean..."
Could he have run into that girl some way or another?"
"Oh, no.
I don't see how he could have, Mrs. Davis."
"Well, if fate has brought them together again, it would be the last straw."
"Now, wait a minute, Mother Davis. Suppose he had..."
"Oh, Phil, it would be disastrous."
"I don't believe it would."
"Aren't I right, Mr. McDonough?"
"Well, frankly, I would certainly prefer to get a hold of her myself and talk to her before Harry does."
"But why, Terry?"
"Well, I didn't go into any of the details with you, Phil. But since her illness, Angie's a completely changed person. Even Dr. Ralph agrees with that."
"But that doesn't make any sense."
"I'm afraid, son, in Angie's case it does."
"Well, what do you mean, Terry?"
"Look, Phil, that girl had her heart and soul set on just one thing, marrying Harry."
"Yes, that's the point, Phil."
"But, Mother Davis..."
"Now, wait a minute, Phil. You have to remember that nothing else in her life mattered. I discovered that when Harry was in the hospital in New York, when Dr. Ralph first operated on him. I didn't even tell you this, Mrs. Davis."
"Well, what happened, Mr. McDonough?"
"Well, when Harry came out of the operation, it was a failure. He still didn't remember anything. He was ready to quit. He didn't want to live."
"Oh, no."
"Well, that certainly doesn't sound like Harry."
"Wait, Phil. Go on, Mr. McDonough."
"Well, of course, Mother Davis. I'm sorry."
"I'm afraid you don't understand, my boy. You see, Angie had literally hounded him to marry her, to go away with her. But Harry refused. I'm not saying he wasn't fond of her, because he was. But deep down in his heart, there was something out of his past that was calling to him. Something he couldn't quite explain. And now I thoroughly believe that it was his forgotten love for Joan that was trying to break through."
"Yes, it must have been, Mr. McDonough."
"I'm sure it was. That's why he went into the hospital without telling Angie he was going there. He wanted time to think things over. If he was willing to take the chance of an operation which might prove fatal to find out the truth about his past, he did it so that if it was successful, he could marry Angie with a clear conscience. And I honestly believe that if the operation was a failure, his idea was to disappear again."
"Great Scott."
"Yes, Phil. And there's a reason for his feeling like that. When he discovered that the operation hadn't been successful, that nothing had been helped, he was seized with a fit of depression and slipped into a coma. And Ralph couldn't rouse him."
"Oh, good heavens."
"So we had to call on Angie."
"Oh.
So that's the bomb."
"Yes, Mr. Davis. For one solid hour, she was on her knees beside his hospital bed, pleading with him to come back, begging him to hear her. And he did."
"Oh, Mr. McDonough."
"And that wasn't all.
I'm beginning to see what you mean.
Believe me, my fear of seeing those two people meet is nothing I've dreamed up.
Now do you understand the bond between them, Phil?
I'm beginning to, yes.
Then, after Harry began to approve, Angie was with him constantly. Ralph didn't want it that way, but there was nothing we could do. Harry was improving, and he insisted on seeing Angie.
It was then they planned to go away together.
Yes. Only remember, they didn't let us in on any of their plans.
But, Terry, what could have changed Harry? You said he was so against a step like that until he had his memory back completely.
I'm not sure. What I think is just a supposition, but Ralph agrees with me.
What is it, Mr. McLean?
In my mind, Ralph made one mistake when he operated on Harry. He didn't tell him that there might have to be another operation, or that there might be a serious reaction, or that it might be a failure.
But isn't that customary?
Yes, for an ordinary patient. But in Harry's case, he should have known.
Well...
Yes, Phil. It wouldn't have hurt Harry, and it would have prepared him for what happened afterwards.
Did Angie Jones know what might happen?
Yes. When Harry was in a coma, we sent for Angie. She was in a terrible state. So Ralph told her the whole situation. He admitted his disappointment with the outcome. And when she asked him if there was a chance that Harry might never get his memory back, Ralph had to admit that there was. He also told her that there should be a second operation.
And you believe that she used this information to persuade Harry to give up and go away with her?
Yes, and this belief is founded on only one incident. After Angie'd seen Harry, after she had literally brought him back to life, Ralph went in Harry's room to talk to him about another operation. Harry agreed to it at once. And remember, when Harry first came out from under the ether, he said to the nurse that he would never have another operation.
Then it must have been the work of this girl.
That's the way I feel.
Of course it was.
You'll never know how surprised Ralph was when he came out of Harry's room. He had expected to have a battle on his hands. But nothing of the kind. Harry agreed to everything.
Hmm.
So plans were made to send Harry to Ralph's summer place in Connecticut until he got his strength back for another operation.
Tell me, did Angie Jones plan to go with him?
Yes, yes. But instead of going there, they secretly decided to run away together.
Then you can be sure she persuaded Harry to take the step.
Of course.
Convincing him through Dr. Ralph's own words that he would probably never remember, regardless of another operation.
But Harry never talked to Ralph about it, nor did Angie, for that matter.
I can understand that.
I'm sure you're right, Mr. Davis. I'm sure that she used Ralph's own words to do it.
But, Terry, I still don't see what that has to do with the present situation.
Well, I'm coming to that, Phil. This is all building up to what happened to the girl. The accident, coming on top of Joan's arrival on the scene, completely changed her point of view. She felt that she'd been cheated, and thinking that way, she pulled herself deeper and deeper into a well of complete depression, where she refused to see any of her old friends. Her hatefulness made her a terrible problem to the nurses. And I'm talking about a girl I loved as my own daughter, a girl who, before her accident, came to me with all of her difficulties.
I know you, Mr. McDonough. I know your kindness. I know you'd never admit wrong in anyone, if there's any way to excuse it.
Well, I'd try not to. But when she walked out on all of us without even a word, I had to admit she'd become a bitter, frustrated woman.
Oh, poor soul.
Well, now do you see, Phil?
Yes, Terry. Yes, I do.
And that's why I'm so anxious for Harry to go to Dr. Ralph again.
Mr. McDonough, do you think another operation might do it?
I don't think even Ralph could answer that.
Oh, good heavens.
I just pray that those two don't meet before Ralph sees him.
Maybe we did wrong in keeping the news of Angie from him.
We did what we thought was best.
Yes.
That's all anyone can do.
Oh.
Maybe that's Harry.
Oh, it only is. If it only is. Hello. Yes. Yes, this is Mrs. Davis. Anne? Oh, Anne Dunn. I didn't recognize your voice. Of course it's not too late. You're sitting in the living room. Harry? Oh, no. No, he isn't here right now. What? Yes, yes, he's out. Do you want to talk to Joan, Anne? Anne? Why, she hung up on me.
What, Mother Davis?
That was Ann Dunn on the phone.
Ann?
Yes.
Well, what did she want?
I can't understand it, Phil. She asked if Harry was here. She asked if he'd gone out, and when I said he had, she hung up on me.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Phil, why do you suppose that woman called here at this time of night?
I can't imagine.
And why do you suppose she wanted to find out if Harry was out?
We'll be back with you in a moment. But now...
Hi, Mr. Stark.
Hi, Jimmy.
Say, you know the story of Rip Van Winkle?
Well, let's see. Wasn't he the gentleman who slept for 20 years?
Yep, and when he woke up, everything was changed. Mm-hmm. Boy, was he surprised.
Well, no wonder. Wouldn't you be surprised if you went to bed tonight and woke up in 1969?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Jeepers, I'd be 32 years old. And maybe I'd look up and see everybody flying around in airplanes. And maybe all my neighbors would be living in glass houses.
Things sure would be different, wouldn't they?
Oh, golly, I guess they would. But, Mr. Stark, I bet I know one thing that would be the same. I bet women would still be using Swansdown cake flour.
And why not, Jimmy? After all, Swansdown bakes the beauties every time. And year after year, more and more women are discovering that fact. Every cake comes out tender and light and even-grained. And believe you me, that's no miracle even for a beginner. Because Swansdown's new insert, 10 pointers to perfect cakes, takes the guesswork right out of cake-making, so you just can't go wrong.
Hey, Mr. Stark, I've got a rhyme. In 49 or 69, the cake you make will be just fine with Swansdown.
And so Mother Davis, bewildered by Anne's call, stands questioningly before Phil and Terry McDonough. And they, too, wonder what motive Anne does has in asking about Harry at this late hour. Well, there until tomorrow at this same time, we leave the story of When a Girl Marries, written by Elaine Carrington. Your narrator is Hugh James.
This program was brought to you by Swansdown Cake Flour, the cake flour bought by more women than all other packaged cake flours put together. Your announcer is Richard Stark.
It's the Coconut Man with a holiday treat. Clara Pumpkin Pie. Your favorite pumpkin pie, gay and spicy, with Baker's Coconut to make the filling extra special. Top with a cloud of whipped cream and Baker's Coconut toasted golden brown. Make Clara Pumpkin Pie with Baker's Coconut for your holiday dessert. Tune for the Stars on NBC.